And we're live.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to what I want to call the good, the bad, and the ugly edition of Fans of Power here. I'm Tyler T-Rex Baker, and of course my partner in crime, who's always here, the evil mad doctor himself, the cruel customizer, the sultan of swing, the king of sting, the ultimate object of desire, the ultimate male, I've run out of Rocky nicknames here, so.
That was pretty good, though. Go ahead, hit them all, Thunderlips. I don't know, go ahead.
Nicknames, not all of them were. Joe Amato here.
How's it going, T-Rex?
Tell you, you know what I'm ready to do? I'm ready to, you know, pounce on certain things. I'm ready to praise the hell out of certain things. And then other things, I'm ready to have a dignified discussion.
All right, well, what's some of the good things you want to praise? What stuff do you want to start off praising?
Well, to touch on briefly here, we got a tremendous reveal, finally, something to the size of a reveal of the equivalent of like a San Diego Comic-Con reveal, with a lot of He-Man and She-Ra reveals over the weekend from Super 7.
Oh, man.
I'd like to think that most people who are listening to us right now, tomorrow, or sometime this week, you've gotten word of the reveals. But in case you haven't, and it relates to the game, which, you know what, we always love getting more fans, so it doesn't really matter if you find out 2 months from now or you're just now finding out, whatever, we still love you to death. We've got some PowerCon exclusives, which are the mini comic versions of Trapjaw, Prince Adam, and Stratos to start with.
Yeah, and those are pretty cool. At least, as you noticed, it's not like, you remember when they did the DC 2-packs at the stores and we got some of those comic versions, but it's just like, it was a simple repaint. But people clamor for them. But at least with these, I mean, there's some new sculpting. So there's new sculpting. As you notice, Trapjaw's got that extra little bit sculpted down over to his, you know, over his mouth. He's got the bolts. He's got the new belt. So that's cool. And also you see Stratos, he has a different belt. Also, he's got the feather necklace. And yeah, Prince Adam is basically just Prince Adam, just in different colors.
Well, different outfit. They've got the
Ular head or whatever.
I know he's not Ular. He's not Jungle He-Man either. It is the He-Man and the Power Sword mini comic version of He-Man.
All right, there you go.
I do not acknowledge the name Ular or Jungle He-Man or any other, you know, god awful name for what is the original version of He-Man. So,
but they look cool.
It's a great 3-pack. I definitely want to get it, you know, especially for that that Trapjaw looks very, very good.
Yes.
And then the other exclusive is the 3-pack of the Earl McCarthy designs for the 1988 wave of He-Man toys.
Yeah, and those, you know, I think they're kind of cool. Don't get me wrong, but I almost wished I would like to have seen those in 5.5-inch style first, because, you know, since we would have got them, hypothetically, the line continued. But it's cool seeing them as classics exclusives. But for me, and it's just my opinion, I feel like the colors just, they all seem like they blend together from all three figures. Like a lot of just blacks and greens. It's just like, I don't flip over the color choice. I mean, nothing wrong. If people like it, that's great. But I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just didn't flip on the color choices.
I see where you're coming from on that. I thought Hotshot was going to be like another black character, which I thought, all right, this is great. You know, we're getting, you know, another black character. You know, it just
right.
You know, building up the human race, so to speak. You know, but I'm like, right. Well, it's closer, and it's just Fisto's head with, you know, black hair, and I you know, I'm like, well, I get. I mean, that's fine too. But I was just thinking we were getting another, because I knew the figure they were going for, and because they really, you know, at least to us fans, they were just artwork. Don't know they had names or they were intended to be a certain type of race or anything. So,
and what are the three names again? What are the three names for those characters?
The human character is called Hotshot, so I guess he's someone who fires, you know, either fire or, you know, I'd assume like hot laser beams that could burn through stuff, you know, because he kind of looks like he comes with a crossbow, and according to the picture, he's got like a switchblade gun that kind of pops out of his wrist like Rio Blast.
Okay.
And then you've got Lord Grasp, the snake man with the clawful arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Whore Roar, the Whiplash slash Mosquitor slash Trapjaw slash Raptor amalgam of the Snake Man.
If
So,
I had to bet, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think those were their original names. If I'm wrong, I hope somebody out there can correct me. Like, I'm assuming Emiliano, he would definitely know if those were their names. But to me, they sound like names that they just came up with. But I might be wrong. But either way, they're cool. But
Horror War just doesn't roll off the tongue. It's a little, I mean, everybody's name that we that you have on your shelf, the name just, you know, even if it's a character you don't like, you know, it rolls off the tongue so much. Horror War, it's like a tongue twister.
yeah, you
It's
have to
not fun to say.
pause. Right. It's, yeah, I don't
Like,
like it.
you know, otherwise it's telling you're saying horror, you know, either horror like scary or horror, a public defender in a lamppost, you know, horror.
Yeah, because I don't like the pause of it. Like you said, just to say horror, but it's like, huh? Did you say whore? It's like, no, whore roar. So, but either way, yeah, kind of
Yeah,
cool.
but
But
I
then,
do like the, because I thought there's McCarthy drawings were fantastic. I'm so glad we're getting those. So hopefully we'll get the Snake Men Horde Troopers next, you know,
right.
featured in those drawings. So you know, I know we didn't know what their colors look like. Obviously the people at Super 7 put that together for us, and I certainly can't wait to get them and add more Snake Men and get another heroic warrior to throw into the mix. So
Most, yeah, most definitely. And
happy
then,
to, and go ahead.
now I was gonna say, no, I mean, most definitely, I want to get them too. But oh, yeah, what flipped us out? I mean, before we get to the things that really made me go nuts, but of course, then we seen the Filmation characters for classics. I mean, we seen Hordak. Oh my God! I mean, not just his head, but his whole outfit. I mean, he had, you know, the actual like cartoon logo batch. You know what I mean?
Which just, you know, it really, you know, solidifies the peasant figure that Classics gave us a few years ago, where they just slapped some paint on there, like, "Hey fans, we heard your calls and we answered it loud and clear. Here it is, the exact same Hordak figure, just with the Filmation color scheme." And
Right. Thank
you know,
God this didn't happen. We
it's
got.
just like, dude, don't do that to us. You know, it's just like, you know, obviously it's not in your plans. I know there was a lot of fan demand for it, but I just kind of felt like, look, if that's all you're gonna do, don't bother with this cheap ass repaint. And but we got it finally. I'm not gonna go back down that road and dwell on that. We got it. He looks great, like he just walked off, an episode of She-Ra. But
Yes.
personal favorite, which I'm super happy over here to my left, are my Filmation characters along with my VHS tapes.
I
It's
know.
finally getting my favorite version. Well, pretty much because of Diamond Red disappearance is Triclops. I mean,
Yeah.
Triclops looks so good. I
He does.
just want to hug the horseman over that one, because they did a fantastic job on that Triclops. It looks so good. The big bulky size of Triclops, the guy that looks like he'd go toe to toe with He-Man in a wrestling match. That's my favorite version of Triclops. Of course, I like the mini comic version too, but oh man, I'm so excited to get that version of Triclops.
Oh yeah, I mean they're all fantastic. I mean, then from Triclops, you got Man at Arms who looks absolutely
Looks
perfect.
very, very good. I like, wow. I'd say aside from those two, Man at Arms would be the third most impressive one out of the batch. He looked really, really good.
Yes, and then hopefully, let's pray her face stays good. We got Teela because, you know, we thought we were going to get a proper Filmation Teela with that Point Dread thing. And they said, no, it really wasn't a Filmation Teela. You'll get one. Well, this one looks perfect. So let's pray that head, when it goes into cat molding and casting or whatever, is just like what we've seen there because that looks great.
She does look very good, and it just shows you that, you know, I'm sure we'll get a Filmation She-Ra and other, you know, characters, female characters too, and we get a Filmation Frosta. I'd personally love to have that myself, because she's so hot.
Yep.
It just shows you that the Filmation wave, you know, it's going to continue to be nothing but A plus. You know, for every report card for the Filmation line is going to be an A plus. I mean, Merman and Whiplash, they're going to look amazing like that. You know,
Yeah, just see, that's what I mean. Seeing how great these look, that's what gets me so excited. The thought of, you know, how we talked a while back. Let's pray they get a Filmation Ram Man. I want little Rammy with that look. That's what I want.
yeah, that's my version of Ram-Man, not the big hulking version. I want a Gimli sized Ram-Man. On my shelf, like he needs to be standing the same height as Rotar in classics right now. Like even Rotar sitting in his little kind of pedestal.
Yeah.
But Ranman Filmation needs to be no bigger than Rotar sitting in that, which I'm looking at right now. He comes up to, the top of Mossman's tricep. I mean, like that's Ranman. He needs to be a short guy. And
Agreed.
yeah,
And if they have a
I'm just showing you with this Filmation line, this could go on for a long time.
yes, and one quick thing about that Ram Man, if it could happen, what I can picture is he could maybe have like how King Hiss had with the torso, removable torso. You have him with his regular short legs, and then you could pop off and show the actual springed ones from the cartoon. I loved when they showed the actual spring
Or some
effect.
sort of action, or like an attachment that makes it look like he's bouncing into action.
Yeah, that's how I meant. So like his lower, spring legs and almost looking like he's just bouncing right out. I think that'd look awesome in a pose.
I think so too. They can have some fun with that one. So I look forward to it because that one will happen, and I know that they that's something that the Horsemen have got to be aware of. They're aware of everything when it comes to
Oh, no doubt.
control and all the good characters. So it's I know we'll be getting it. So if there's that, every time we get reveals now, I'm always going to think there's always some guy, maybe a couple, who are just like, man, it's the worst reveals ever. Or something like that. And it makes me think of that Botchamania where they show that clip of that 16-year-old girl holding up a sign wanting John Cena's t-shirt, and they're making fun of it. And John throws this t-shirt to the other side of the ring, and the girl's in the audience like practically crying. And the Botchamania guys put a tagline, worst paper, worst Raw ever, because the girl's sitting
No.
crying on like
Well,
live TV. And that's what I'm thinking of. If there's some guy who's just like, man, this is stupid. Where's Brandman at? It's just like,
it's understandable. I mean, you got to understand.
I mean, geez, I feel like, but I forget that, I embrace all this stuff except one
Well,
particular
yeah. So, I
character.
mean, everybody's got like a certain, taste or things that they
But
might
at
want.
this
So,
point, you can't, and I'm saying, I haven't seen anything bad, but I'm just making fun of the fact there's always somebody. Every time there have been reveals from the beginning of classics, there's always somebody, who's kicking garbage cans over and looking to, start an at back alley fight with somebody they come in contact because they're so mad because they didn't get this guy or something like that. I was like, well, I didn't piss and moan because Dial-A-Mug wasn't revealed or something like that. It's a fantastic lineup. And
oh, it is. No, it is. It's a great lineup. Now, I was gonna say before we get to what got me really excited, we'll just quickly say Super Seven also is doing more 3¾ style figures. They're gonna have like Cobra Khan, Battle Armor Skeletor, Battle Armor He-Man, I think Stratos, Teela, and I know I'm missing somebody, but they got those too. They
well,
all
they got that. And before we move on, we are talking about a dream has finally been fulfilled since my early days of the internet, back in the late 90s, was seeing the prototype of this guy.
oh Jesus, that I lost it.
I was thank God we got him in Eldor in classic form, but to get him, and I hope that they'll give us the powers of Grayskull card back when they release those two, but to finally get Hero in Eldor and the vintage form.
I think it'll happen. I mean, yeah, I think they'll look fantastic. See, that's the thing. I mean, you're right. When I was a kid, I mean, I remember seeing in that one magazine about an Eldor, a hero. So the thought of them finally being in 5½-inch style vintage, I couldn't be happier because I've made custom Eldors before and I've always wanted an official one. And the same thing for Hero. I mean, now we're going to get them. Now, of course, we didn't see their versions of them. It's just basically letting us know you're getting a taste. Look what's going to be coming. So after they showed that, which that's what I'm most excited about, are these the 5½-inch vintage style. But they also announced they're going to do more stuff. And they showed four other characters, like in TV style, if you will. They showed He-Man, Skeletor, Hordak and She-Ra. So you got the main, heroes and the main villains, but there's new sculpting for Skeletor's head. It looks like new type of boots. He-Man's got an adjustment with hair and something to his face. Hordak's got an adjustment onto his face too and his cowl. But now She-Ra, you could tell what they did was they took a Teela figure and sculpted over, and it's a genius move because if you would have got her back then, that's probably what she would have looked like if she would
And
have
if
been.
Joe had gotten this figure as a kid, he would have immediately looked up her dress to check out her back, which is
Well,
what you're going to be getting to here in a moment.
here we go. Okay. Well, Tyler's getting to
Here is
what
here for everybody to see. Here,
Listen.
the harlot, the Jezebel,
It's just
the whore.
we the oh there you go. No. In the cartoon, we know that at times, when she jumps, gets onto Swiftwing, whatever, yeah, you see her panties. Of course you can, you see her panties. But now with this figure, when she's standing there, she's standing and you already see her panties. Now the skirt looks, it's like it's a little short, like it should have been sculpted more. But here's the thing, just to let people know, I guess it was already confirmed. A couple people asked. They said this isn't final and that skirt will be adjusted. It only needs to come down a little bit because, like I said, I mean, not that I'm, ooh, damn, check them panties out, like I'm looking underneath, but it just looks weird. She's standing there and her skirt's like hiked up like this, and you see them already. It's like, you gotta have the mystery of looking. I mean, not that I'm saying we're all gonna look for her panties. Shut up, Tally, you gotta stop me. But you know what I mean? It's just so her panties will be, I mean, her skirt will be fixed. He's
If
looking at me
eventually
like,
Joe gets this figure, he's going to go home, put on his module-up mask, and hold it up and go, those are panties. That was funny. You
and
make it sound as if, and I know that you got your articulation freaks who are just all about, oh dear God, they screwed up the left ankle articulation. It is the worst reveal ever here, guy.
stop it.
I think you're probably one of the, and if you had not pointed out the fact that you think She-Ra had a big bulge in her panties there,
Well,
so
no, not like
you put socks down there for whatever reason,
I'm
I
just
don't think
saying.
anybody would have sat around saying, "Hey, man, I'm not a pervert or anything, but I think She-Ra's packing something downstairs."
It looked awkward. So,
It
but
looks
she's.
like the horsemen are kind of laughing around. It'll be funny. No, don't fix it. It'll be funny.
Shut up. So they'll fix her skirt and then it'll cover up her panty area. But I mean, she'll be great. And I'm sure they'll fill in her gauntlets because right now she just has the regular Tila bracers. But I'm sure they'll smooth it out. Like I said, this is just a rough, quick thing, I think. But I mean, it still looks great. And that's probably how she would have looked back then. She's got the big Tila hips, So. Yeah, I mean it's a good looking figure, and hopefully for Hero, I just thought about another thing with Hero. I'm hoping that he comes with like vac metal because I've seen some custom with vac metal and some where it's just like gold colored painted, and I
No, it
know
needs
some.
back mail just like the
Yeah,
Vintage Toys
it
one.
has to be, yeah, because I know some people are always concerned saying, "Oh, but vac metal will flake." I'm like, no, it won't. I mean, heck, my Hurricane Hordak from back then still isn't flaked. So give the vac metal. And Eldor, I hope he comes with that book of holograms. We always wondered, like, what was going to be in that? That'd be cool. So
Be
hopefully.
your visionaries, man. You could have, or your supernatural. Supernatural is what I meant to say. The torso ghost hologram guys. That'd be a great setup. You get your ghoulish, supernatural sitting around, Eldor with his book of holograms,
Yeah, so that'll be cool. So that just, like I said, that's what I'm most excited about. Another quick thing, yes, they're making more muscle figures for Masters too. Not to leave those out, but it's just I got so sucked in with the 5.5-inch figures. So that's what I'm most excited about. So Super 7 again is hitting everything for people. They're pleasing classics fans, vintage fans, 3 3/4, and muscle. You're getting it all. So couldn't be happier about those reveals.
Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff ahead of us, and I told my buddy Matt Sterner, who was very anxious about this stuff. I said, "Yeah, I'm ready to just dump piles of money like Scrooge McDuck, to Super 7, just dump it on the take it like a big crane, reeling in there, and just drop all these bags of money just right on their doorstep. Just give me all you got here, people."
Heck yeah, take it all. So
I'm not
let's. All
I'm
right.
not. I mean,
Wait, go
just
ahead.
we have some comments here from the chat room. Just want to point out real quick.
Okay.
Let's see. Walter Grayskull wants Triclops to come with the ring and wants Ram Man to come with the crossed eyes. Both of those, yes. The glow-in-the-dark ring and Ram Man with his crossed eyes. Yes, I agree with both of those.
And Paul Rudman, almost 5 minutes ago, said that Hero needs to come with the vac metal. So he's with you on that one. Oh, cool. All right, same page. All right, cool. There you go.
They also everyone agrees that Joe is a giant perv.
Thanks,
Everybody was going to
guys.
get off on, everyone's like, "Oh man, this is so dirty. She were in her badge."
There you go. So everybody can see when I first get the figure, first thing I'm gonna do, head on look, and then I'm just gonna tip it like that to look underneath. But well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. All right, well, all right, T-Rex. So we covered all the reveals. Now, before we get to a fun comic we'll discuss later, something that just came out this week. We're going to do a character spotlight on Man at Arms, excuse me. So, why don't you start off with Man at Arms? Your thoughts on that character?
People who know the show, like Chris Paulson in particular, knows I've thrown punches and jabs at the character. But again, like Teela, it's just how the character's written. Man at Arms was one of the first characters I got as a kid. He's always been a necessity. For the most part, he was very well done in Filmation. NYP certainly was not. Regardless of him having much more of a prominent active role in the action and stuff like that, still, I find it hard anything polite to say about his interpretation of that. But,
What didn't you like about NYP's Man at Arms compared to Filmation?
even though in Filmation it used to bother me that he used to give Orko so much crap. And as a kid, because I liked Orko, I didn't find Orko, I still don't. I just thought, like, he's always, just busting Orko's balls all, or even going out of his way to do it, just being a real douchebag about it. I just could not stand him and Teela both. I mean, there were times where both of them were very tolerable, had no problems, but or just like if Man at Arms, the episode Return of Grand, I remember watching that. I've watched some several times as a kid, but that particular episode where I'm always hoping that there'll be Fisto's going to show up in this episode, or Buzz Off, or Mechaneck, and He-Man's like, well, I'm going to go help Grandemir with, he needs to see me, I'm going to go, and the man I was like, I'd like to come along. I'm like, no, you're in every episode, you tag along for everything, stop, hightail it back to, the Royal Palace, let somebody else take, be in the spotlight for a change.
What do you
That
think?
used to bug the hell out of me as a kid, because he was in every episode
Just
almost. I'm
there to
like,
show his
I
new.
understand you, Duncan,
It's, I mean, is he
but
basically
you
there just
need
to.
men. Huh?
He was just there basically to show his new inventions or his new gadgets or something.
He shows up with his I've come how convenient. I've just found a new way, a reason to use my new stasis ray to freeze these dragons, and just
Yeah, always
he
perfect.
mystery. Oh, what probably my least favorite amount of exposition he gives, which is in the Ice Age Comet from season two, the episode with Icer in it. And when they see this tremendous glacier is getting bigger and just kind of growing over the land, and they say, well, we'll take the attack track up there. It's like, we can't, the terrain's too dangerous, or like, we'll take the wind. It's like, oh, she can't, whatever's causing this ice glacier has filled the air with negative ions, it's nothing can fly, it's just like, all right, dude, where? And it's like, you haven't. It's just like, you just like, how do you even know this here? What are you basing this information on? You're sitting there looking at this glacier engulfing the land with everybody else, but somehow you come up with this theory that, oh, negative ions, you can't fly, and nothing can, blah, 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 blah. And I just if I was Adam looking at him, I just would have just knocked him off to the side there, like Hulk did Thor in the Avengers movie. It's like, shut up.
But now early in Alcala.
But
Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
oh no, I'm just saying, I love the character. And I've grown as I've gotten older, I've grown to appreciate the portrayals of Man-at-Arms that were like in the Golden Books, like with the no mustache at certain times. I know Joe had made reference to this before, that in like the Golden Book cartoon video, he's got a mustache, but in the actual books he doesn't. But it's almost like a different portrayal where he's just like a heroic warrior. There, he's there to smack Beastman around with his mace and help He-Man fight Skeletor. Just a good war buddy, so to speak. He's not walking around with, I invented this, and Orko, I think you're stupid, and your magic sucks, and I wish you would,
That's what I meant.
off
Like
a
in those,
cliff.
exactly, like in the early books and even Alcala books, I mean, he wasn't there always inventing stuff, was he? He was just there as kind of like you said, a master of weapons or to be there to fight all the time, it seemed like.
Master of weapons, like someone who is well versed in a lot of battle tactics with weapons. I'd like to think of it as someone who, if you're going to plan a battle, he's the guy you talk to. Like, hey, look, we're going to attack Skeletor from the West End. He's not anticipating that, or he's someone who's obviously seen a lot of war, and is just a very serious character, a very likable character. but he's not walking around like he's got something up his butt, you know, all the time. Which the way he's written in NYP and sometimes Filmation is like, you know, what the hell's your problem? Did you run out of toilet paper in the bathroom or something like that?
No, but you know what's funny? That shows, like you said,
You
the
know?
impact that obviously, you know, some people they experience Masters of the Universe more through their action figures, comics, and books. Others, it was all about the cartoon, but it shows the influence of the cartoon. Because, like you said, like Caverns of Fear and a lot of those Golden books that they did, you know, he didn't have his mustache. But just like we were saying, when they did him on video, then they actually added a mustache to it because they
But
know
that's
more.
the, as a kid, the cartoon was the biggest flagship for me. So if I didn't see him with a mustache, I'm like, how come he doesn't have a mustache? How come the toy don't have a mustache? Now I've completely reversed my mindset as I've gotten older. Like I'm like, I like that. I remember like in the first episode of the beginning for MYP, well, me and my brother were watching it, and Man Arms has a new mustache, and there's a shot of him after they've gotten Keldor's forces to run off, and he's kind of staring, you know, staring down, Keldor's forces as they left, and he looks pretty badass. And me and my brother, he looks really cool like that without the mustache, like just this very serious, you know, warrior who's just like, you know, I'm ready to do more. Like I'm not done yet. I'm ready, you know, to tear Merman a new one.
Yeah,
And I like, but it was just how we perceived it. Like much like how people probably think NYP's Man at Arms is probably the definitive one,
oh, they
but
could.
if that's the case, they clearly haven't seen the '87 movie.
And yeah, that was he was done well in there too. But no, you know, get back real quick to that video. You're right. That's what's showing. It's like the influence of the cartoon. Most people knew Masters of the Universe from the cartoon, and to then watch a Golden video, and if they would have seen him with no mustache, they would have been like, wait, what's going on? Why is there no mustache here? So it was kind of a cool little genius move because you still get some fans who forget that the toy came first. And when they look at Man in Arms, the vintage figure, they're like, where's his mustache? Why doesn't he have you know, a mustache? It's like, well, the figure came first, then the cartoon. So there's a lot of people, you know, you got to do the debate, you know, what do you prefer, the mustache or the no mustache Man in Arms? And it usually goes back and forth. Some people like the one with no mustache a lot more too.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, we're grown men arguing about, I want it with a mustache. I don't want it with, you know, with a mustache, you know, but it's become such a big thing with He-Man fans over the years. You know, I've read them, you know, magazines when they mention Man at Arms, like, you know, how, where's your mustache at or something like that? Or how come this figure never had a mustache? And or when NYP, when the 2000 X-Line came out, like, this figure Man at Arms has a mustache. And everyone's like, oh, this is so cool and badass. And you know, people make, you know, I myself, it was, you know, that mustache was such, it's, I guess it's like, you know, Tom Selleck and his mustache, or Cesar Romero and his mustache, you know, it's an iconic trademark of the character,
It is. No,
you
it is.
know, and it's, you know, I
You know,
just kind of step back and think about it. All of us are arguing like, you know, mustache, no mustache, and
there's one other thing I was going to say. I know, like you said, the character or the, I guess, the personality traits or whatever of Man at Arms in MYP is something that, like you said, is a little overbearing to you. But I guess what I liked was I felt like we were kind of getting a mix of both, meaning the early books, to where he was like kind of more hands-on action fighting, and then Filmation, where he's kind of always inventing stuff. And it's like they kind of brought both of those worlds together to give you this Man at Arms for MYP, but then they made his personality sometimes, you know, like you said, overbearing at, you know, for some people. But I do like that he was finally in the mix and at least accomplishing stuff, or at least looking like he's accomplishing stuff instead of,
yeah,
like you said.
he's doing backflips like King Randor is, and doing all these, you know, flying, you know, a mile up into the air and then landing. And just to like, dude, okay, so you have the, you know, speed and agility of He-Man too, huh?
All do, remember? They all have that ability, but
I it takes me out of it. I hate saying, which in Council of Part One, I'm so glad to see Skeletor kick his ass. You know, you get that fight in the in Sands of Fire, and Man at Arms leaps what looks like, you know, a good 200 feet in the air just off his bare feet, or his, you know, his actual, not bare feet, and then launches all these guns all at once. You're like, where did all these things come from? And then Skeletor's just standing there with his arms crossed, holding him, and just, I mean, just blasts his whole. I mean, it was just,
what I
they're like,
did
this.
like, there was
It's
one
like, you're gonna get yours someday, Man at Arms.
in MYP, there was one part, it's what I call for me my Rio Blast moment. It was that part where he like jumped up in the air and all those guns went ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and he was
Which at
shooting
the
up.
time I thought was cool, but looking back at it now, it just feels like, all right, that's a little, you know,
No,
over.
if you No, if you thought it was cool then, it's still cool now. That was cool. That was his real blasphemy.
I hate you. Don't you sit there and tell me like, no, you can't just change your mind. You know, it's just, you know.
Nope, you can't. Nope. You can't like it, then hate it. You gotta love it. You gotta like his real blast moment. But so I guess I don't know. That's what's weird. I don't know which to pick is my favorite from,
The
the.
movie version clearly is the favorite because that is the most lovable version of Man-at-Arms. He's doing every. He's got the mustache. He's got the well-adapted version of the armor, all in kind of a dark blue kind of thing. And he's a character who's not tearing up Gwildor, who is obviously the Orko fill-in. Teela's doing that. He's hungry. He's a lovable character, but he's also serious when he needs to be. He's ready to go into action with He-Man's like. You know, classic war buddies, like they've seen and done a whole lot of fights together. That's the kind of feel vibe I get, just kind of based on the dialogue they give them. It's like, you know, obviously they've seen and done a lot, and along with Teela, and that's
You know what's funny about that Man at Arms? Not only, like you said, his character portrayal, but also it's the one character that looked pretty similar to what we were familiar with, with
Yeah. There was like it was hard to argue that this was a drastic change from the cartoon. Like
right.
no, I mean it from the helmet to, I mean he's got a little visor that comes down over his eyes, but the armor shape itself, the helmet. I mean it was like they Stout did a really good job of trying to make sure that hey look we're gonna make it look like the toy, but we're also gonna adapt for the film too. So it's it looked very very good.
It did. No, he did.
And Don
But
Cipher did a great job. You know, people don't really talk about him in particular, but I thought, you know, his segment in the movie where he's eating the bucket of chicken with Gwildor and the ribs and Teela, and, you know, or his joke of like, I think I'm feeling a little hungry. You know, Father, you're always, you know, during the siege, you create 30 days without radishes, you know. It's just fun little character traits. At least this is the manner in which you can get behind and support. And you're like, oh man, well, someone just, you know, put some duct tape over his mouth, you know, and throw him in the trunk of a car. You know,
No.
he's a fun character in the movie, and that's the way he ought to be.
No, he should be. I mean, he always feels at least like the character that's trying to, get the battle going, having some tactical stuff. He's trying to take control of things at times, but he's, a war veteran, you almost feel.
Like he's calling shots, says, like, you know, watch the forward position, give He-Man some cut. Like he's calling the battle, you know, telling people what they need to do. So when they're like right there on the spot of the moment, like he just goes right into it. Like he's like he knows what to do because he has seen and done a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's a war veteran, basically. You could, yeah,
Yeah.
so that's what I do. I mean, I guess, though, if I had to pick out of all of them, at least the one that I prefer the most, I hate saying it because I know you'll get mad, but no, I don't hate saying it. I do like the MYP one. MYP feels like I was getting,
Absolutely.
shut up. I'm getting versions, like I said, stuff from the comics, stuff from cartoon. They meshed it together, gave him MYP, and then, yes, his, personality a little more overbearing, but who cares? I enjoyed it. So that's my choice as my favorite man at arms. And what's yours before we get into a real interesting other topic?
Clearly, the live action movie with a close follow up to the Filmation version. MYP would I would rank it. I mean, I'd pick the Golden Books. I'd pick the mini comics. I'd pick, you know, I'd pick the box art Man at Arms.
So you're
You
picking
know,
it all before MYP, huh?
I'd pick, you know, Man at Arms. That's
Would you pick the Man at Arms in the Leech mini
Man at
comic,
Arms
or
on the 10 lunchbox. I'd pick that Man at Arms, you know, and
that is an awesome Man at Arms, though. Yeah.
it is though. I'm just saying that, you know, MYP, I can't stand that version of Man at Arms. Not the look. The look and design of that Man at Arms is fantastic. You understand me, MYP fans. I love the design. It's the way the character's written. It's just
Okay.
he's a just pompous ass and you know, and I is like the final the Last Stand episode where it's like I must face the king. I'm like, man, I hope he takes you know, to the guillotine there, Duncan. You know, jackass.
Oh, shoot.
It's like
So,
you should feel bad. You suck, man.
oh, you suck. They had his Happy Gilmore moment, but
Yeah, you
all right.
suck,
So,
jackass.
well, that's Man Arms discussion. Now we're gonna get to Tyler's
Yeah.
fit.
Now what we're going to do here is we're going to devote this part to the ugly section of Fans of Power. Joe is going to read from the Book of the Antichrist,
All right, and.
also known as the He-Man Thundercats crossover issue 5.
Whew. Oh, fans. Again, if you love it, I'm great. I mean, I'm happy for you. If you
All
love it.
right, that's enough of that.
I'm
You
trying
told you were going to leave house. You do not be trying to tell people
to.
that it's like, no,
Listen.
do not be doing that. Go promise me that
I mean,
he was not going to hold back. And here he is trying to be a political leader here. Now, good people here. I want you all to know that it's perfectly fine. It is if like, it's like a choice of lifestyle, to like this book here. It's like, it's enough, it's enough.
okay, well, I'm just saying, some people like it, and they do. Cool. And I'll
Who are you
also quickly say,
protecting right now?
nothing. So I also, like I said, the art's okay. But now, this is the one time where I
Before
have.
we get going here, oh yeah, that this reminds me. Before we get going with this conversation here, the always so intellectual Dr. Amato here, just in casual conversation earlier this week, told me that he contacted Freddie Williams a while back and sent him what I can assume was the first episode covering the Thundercats crossover, which he failed to mention.
I thought I mentioned it to you. I
And
thought.
in between this, Joe is telling me, I think they're listening to us. Well, can't you see they changed that? And they've acknowledged this. And we'll get into a little bit more. And I'm like, Joe, how are you? It's like, dude, of all the people in this world, how are you getting? And he was so like, he was just like, no, this is like in the vault, like it's set in stone. This is the truth. These guys are listening to us. I'm like, how the hell are you getting this? He's like, oh yeah, I sent him the podcast.
I thought I told you. I guess
And not only sent the podcast, he got a response from Freddie Williams, who said, Joe, I want Tyler's head on a stick. He's making it look people.
well, he didn't say that. But well, like I said, I always have to acknowledge, hey, I at least like the art. That's all I have to say. Now, every other time we've talked about the comic,
Oh
I've always
boy.
thought.
Freddie apologizes. He's like, I'm sorry you don't like the story.
Listen.
So what we have to assume here is that Joe believes that the dynamic jackass is writing this book. These two, I Rob David and whatever the other guy's name. I don't remember. Joe doesn't remember either. That they are listening to fans. The feedback of some of the mistakes that they made. Just, I guess, they're only listening to a couple of the big mistakes they made. Yeah, but it's not like they're continuing to re really listen to any of us because the book continues to get worse and worse and worse every month, as we will soon discuss here. And I
Yeah.
just wanted to bring up that Joe believes that they've listened to the fans and ignored us for the most part, but,
I feel, like I said, I think our voices have been heard for some of the things. I mean, we already know that issue one, that obviously Freddie Williams went back and redrew the proper Ancient Spirits of Evil for that reprint, which was fantastic of him. As for going back to rewrite stuff, you know that's not going to happen. But when we get to something here, I think something was probably heard from us and fans, which maybe changed it. Maybe. But this is the one time I had nothing positive to say about the story. This time, I mean, my brain was just exploding with just insanity of how much I dislike this. Okay, first to start off, they're all into battle, and you have here, I'm going to bring it up so I can at least see some things. All right. There's a whole bunch of vehicles coming towards the four ancient spirits of evil that are trying to get to Castle Grayskull. And in battle, you see, God, I hate saying the one part. You see King Randor basically saying, about how he's going to protect, Grayskull. Grayskull won't fall. King Grayskull, I mean, I'm sorry, King Randor, I'm saying Grayskull. See, my mind's already just screwed up. All right, King Randor is about ready to get into battle. He's on Bionatops. How is he on Bionatops? I know that Easter eggs are cool, but let me tell you something.
because Rob David told him to do it.
Well, here, Emiliano, when he did Easter eggs for the MVC comics, he was clever and they were cool. There were cool little things in the background, something here, blah, blah. Not major plot points. This, he's on Bionatops. That's not even the same era. He doesn't belong there. And some people, most people hate it just as much as I did, but some people said, well, Joe, remember, there's no one continuity to this. And remember, this is their own storyline, and Masters has always been different, which, sure, all Masters in different eras has been different, but they're clearly screwing up by trying to mesh stuff together. So I brought something up to him. I said, okay, and this is why I said King Grayskull earlier when I fumbled. I said, what if they would have showed King Grayskull side by side with, you know, He-Man, along with Hero, and all of them together in battle. I said, would that have been a problem? I said, because obviously those have been separate eras, and sure enough, they did say, Joe, you got a point. Because yes, if you can't have Hero there, if you're not gonna have King Grayskull, you don't have Bionatops. It's not their era. So that was it.
That's where you'd have Man-At-Arms come in. Well, thank God for that mosquito I took, from that abandoned park, so, on the other part of Eternia. I managed to take the DNA from that mosquito and create our very own Bionitops.
Yeah, basically.
Just some sort of warped version of Jurassic Park, It just is a quick little panel of exposition there,
Right. So it, not only that, but on the same page, this is what really got me going. They had Rotar there, you know, Rotar that we grew up with. Remember, zoom, 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 spinner.
This guy here,
Show,
the guy.
Rotar. Okay, yeah, Rotar. Anyways, the spinning guy. He has legs and he's running into battle. Now here's my point. When they made the classics figures, I know classics figures do not have action features. We know this. And we know that when they were going to release them, they probably figured, how can we make this appeal to people who maybe didn't collect them, didn't understand them? Hey, let's give an option of either giving them the spin top or the legs so you can display with them. I got to say it again, guys. Rotar has never been shown. In that one mini comic, the Energy Zoids, he was never shown with legs. The machine that saved him, that Man-At-Arms used, the gyro machine, that machine that Man-At-Arms created was. The purpose was to make spinning robots. That was the purpose, a gyro machine to make spinning robots. So it saved Rotar's life. We don't know what he looked like. He could have been a centaur. Like I said, we don't know what this guy looks like. But the other thing I know is when he would have been in his other form, let's just call him Larry. He wouldn't have had the mask. He wouldn't have had this armor. So nothing makes sense of the picture that's shown because it's like, okay, he's got legs and he's got the armor. It's like, I don't even understand what okay, this is a comic. This is your chance to now, since we can't have the action, I mean, because the action figure has to have legs because of no action features, then at least for the comic, give Rotar his time to spin into battle. Picture him just spinning, coming into battle with his weapons. No, he's running. This was the dumbest thing, and it just shows they're just referencing the action figures. This annoyed me. I hated seeing Rotar with legs, because he's not even Rotar. Like I said, I'm just gonna call him Larry. It don't make sense. So that part, those, that whole page drove me nuts. So that's page one. So I'm gonna try to get into something else. Let's see, what else madness was it as they're going into battle? They're trying to get I don't know, some big giant gun up to, you know, make a blast at these guys, at the ancient spirits of evil. Man-At-Arms is trying to be
What Joe didn't mention is that the ancient spirits of evil are the size of Godzilla
Oh yeah,
monsters.
they're ginormous. They're ginormous.
Which I don't remember if that was even acknowledged in the last issue, but the very idea
Yeah,
that
of
the
course.
spirits, which were considered just statues inside Mon-Ra's pyramid, are now running around, going to be, picking up people and eating them and stomping on stuff, and screaming and yelling, and you just feel like,
Well, there they are.
who
They're
is the guy and who moved the rock that let him out?
Yeah, well, they are giant suckers. But so they're getting this cannon ready. Man-At-Arms is trying to explain to Tigra and Panthro about fixing this wire, doing something. They realize it's right. Then you have Chitara like flying with Teela on a sky sled, and Chitara is even starting to be sorry kids out there, just bitchy. I'm just it's not being cussing, but you know what I mean. She just has this attitude. It's like. Why is Chitara now having like an attitude where she's talking like Teela? So she wants to get into battle and she's flying down. She jumps, takes her sword, slashes into the eyes of one of the ancient spirits of evil, and then she's falling back. As she's falling from the sky, Teela catches her on the sky sled, and then there's this big corny smile from Chitara. It just looks awkward. I mean, they're trying to get into action, trying to make it look interesting, but just nothing about this is fun. It's all just off to me. And then we're back and forth to where Mumra and Skeletor are talking back and forth about what they need to do. Orko's gonna try to get into battle to help too. So I think Orko is trying to use a spell where he's gonna try to shrink the ancient spirits of evil. He's figured maybe this will help. But of course it bounces, it backfires, it hits Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat, so his like magic is screwing up. Then it comes to a fun part. Here's the fun part. This is what I was trying to rush and get to. The sorceress is inside Castle Grayskull. and she's calling to the power of Grayskull. She wants, Castle Grayskull to be shielded. Suddenly, a voice comes up, and the voice is in blue, and it says, "Hopefully, you will consider me less a trespasser." And it's Jaga, and he says, "And more ally." And the sorcerer says, "By the elders, who are you?" And Jaga gives the dumbest reply, at least for me, and this is why I think this is force-fed. He's like, "I am called Jaga. I'm called Jaga, Lady Sorceress." He says, "We haven't much time, and it takes great effort to communicate with anyone other than the current king of my people." And then he says, "I beseech you, trust your magical instincts and hear me out." Here's the thing. Why does Jaga have to explain how he could be seen? Isn't that interesting? Jaga's actually, I mean, do you ever do that? You come to somebody like, "Hello, sorceress, I am Jaga, and this is why you can see me." It's like the sorceress flying outside Castle Grayskull to somebody she's never seen before and say, "Hello, I am the sorceress. Normally, I can't take human form outside of Castle Grayskull, but for this one exception, I can, and that's why I am the sorceress. Now, let me tell you my problem." It's like, you don't explain why you can be seen. You know why he says this, probably? Because of what we said in issue one. And that's when Jaga was seen by all of the Thundercats, and they could also hear him. And what did we say? In the history of Thundercats, no Thundercat has ever been able to see and speak with Blue Spirit Jaga than Lionel. He's the only one that can. No other Thundercats. Then, of course, some of the fans who didn't watch Thundercats too much are like, "Well, yes, they could. You remember the episode where Groon battled them?" And it's like, that was different. That's when Lionel pulled Jaga out of the astral plane, and he wasn't in his blue spirit form. He almost looked flesh colored, and they did battle. Otherwise, Blue Spirit Jaga has never been seen by any of the Thundercats. So this felt like, now we gave you the reason. You didn't give no reason here. This isn't explaining suddenly why he was seen in issue one. You guys knew you messed up in issue one, so you put this stupid force-fed comment in there that I cannot stand. And you could tell, Tyler, that's a force-fed comment.
Well, that, along with what follows, which is trying to explain why Jaga knows what the hell Eternia is.
Oh, yeah, which that'll be coming too.
Which is my biggest quarrel. I just, I felt like there were so many problems with each book and the idea of already bridging these two universes together. It just simply because the guys writing it were just too lazy and too sloppy and ill-equipped and completely inadequate to write the story to begin with. Just throw them together. No explanation. And oh yeah, after all this time, oh, we get a half-assed explanation as to why, well, suddenly Jaga would even know of this planet. And
Right.
what?
Oh, no, you're right. Go ahead. Just a coffee, had a little cough. Sorry about that.
I don't have the book in front of me. Joe can explain what I'm talking about with that if people have not read it
Well,
or.
which we're going to get to that because after
Well,
he,
it's not where you're at right now.
well, that's close. He was talking about he was once Lord of the Thundercats. And he said, "Amongst the collected riches of my people was the fabled treasure of Thundera. Within the treasure, I believe there is an artifact that can aid in the destruction of the creatures that now assail this edifice." He says, "My lady, might you provide a way back to Thundera, my home world, before it was destroyed, that we may retrieve this artifact?" So here's the thing.
He's running jogging like he's talking like a Shakespearean actor.
Yeah, but here's what's annoying. Here we go with time travel. So they want to go into the past to get this artifact. It's like, if the sorceress can do time travel, then why don't you just time travel back before this whole stupid event happened? You warn He-Man that this guy who's going to fly in front of you is not me. It's going to be somebody named Mumra, and you kill him and stop him, or just stop the whole event from happening in general. But prepare He-Man. Why don't you do that going to the past? I hate time travel stuff. It's lazy. And from what Thomas Guerra said, who's a big Thundercats expert, I think he said that this artifact, it ain't even in the past. It's something that can still exist that they could get in normal time for Thundercats. I'm not sure because I don't know, but here's the thing. This artifact ends up, which you'll see later, being a golden disc of knowledge. So I guarantee you that this special artifact that existed in Thundercats history is not a golden disc of knowledge. So anyways, that's what's gonna stop and help and aid this whole battle. So, all right, so they're entering the range to shoot at the thing as they try to shoot. Here comes Man at Arms and them on the Thunder Take. They shoot this thing again. Man at Arms, I'm sorry, Orko comes in again trying to do the shrink ray. When he does the shrink ray, it hits like I think the Thunder Tank. And Man at Arms says, "Orko, you magical menace." And then he said, "Sorry, Duncan, can't quite hear you," and he flies off. Okay, I don't know if I might be wrong, but I don't think I've ever remembered in the history of He-Man Orko calling Man at Arms Duncan.
Because he hasn't.
Because he hasn't. And you know why? Because it leads to this pretty piece of dialogue. See, that's why it's like he calls him Duncan so we can get this stupid exchange of words between Panthro
Yeah,
and Man at Arms.
because obviously the guy just thought, oh my gosh, I've got this great funny moment during the
And get
He-Man
ready. Yeah, and
Willie
get
battle here.
right. And here comes the great dialogue that came from that line about Duncan. Saying, "Come on, lads, uplift." They're trying to lift back up this weapon. And then and Panthro says, "So, Duncan's your name, eh?" And then he's like, "Just get the bloody cannon in position. We can get all chummy later." It's like, wow, I'm so glad you did that Duncan line so we could get that whole conversation. So stupid. So that's why Orko called him Duncan after 30 some years, so we could get that great conversation. So that was just nonsense. Now let's see what else we can get to. I'm sorry that I'm rambling through it, but I'm just trying to get it all. So they shoot the thing at the giant, and it looks like it blew his head off, and they're all celebrating. But then it seems smoky, like they still haven't stopped him. So they still have to keep battling because they still haven't stopped one of the giant ancient spirits of evil. And okay, they're fighting back and forth again. They're slamming crap. I don't know. I'm just going quick here. And suddenly, Castle Grayskull disappears. And they don't know what happened. Like Skeletor's all freaking out. They're all freaking out. Well, Tigra is using his illusion power or his powers to make it look like it's gone. It's just an illusion. That's what Tigra's doing. So he's not really gone. Or his Castle Grayskull's not really gone. So they come back, the sorceress and Jaga, and they say, "Heroic warriors, one of your comrades shields us for the moment. But time is of the essence. Noble Jaga and I have retrieved from another time and another place our one true chance for victory." And he's like, "Numbered among the greatest treasures of my homeland was this, a disc of knowledge." So it was one of the golden discs of knowledge. And it says, "Containing the wisdoms from all the wisest minds in the universe." At least he says, "or the multiverse." And this is what Tyler likes. He said, "Many years ago, it was from this very disc I first heard the tale." It says tale, I think they meant tale, "of Eternia and of this magical castle." Yeah, so that's how Jaga apparently heard of Castle Grayskull and Eternia was from one of these golden discs of knowledge. So Tyler, go ahead on your thought on that, because I know that part drove you nuts.
I'm drawing, my head hurts.
Okay, well, if you, I'll let you. You just, Tyler's at a loss for words. Well,
I feel like if these guys, I feel like Russell Westbrook right now, like, what the hell are you talking about?
yeah.
I just think this is absolutely ridiculous, and I feel like when these guys are completely done with this story, and that's being polite, but they're probably already done. If they are proud of what they have done, then I'm sure that they'll be sitting in McDonald's one day, hanging out with the senior citizens, and one of them's going to be like, "Oh man, not only am I proud about that, but if your stomach can handle it, I'd love to show you my vasectomy scar too." You just think, dude, you guys, have no business writing anything. You just kind of feel like this is, are you proud of this? Are you happy that, you've taken these two properties who deserve proper treatment, just like Spider-Man and Batman and Superman and the Avengers, and done everything you can to show that we clearly didn't research. We didn't do anything to prepare for it. We didn't want to write anything quality. We got our humor from, George Lopez. It's just like, are you guys, honestly, if there was a comic
And
book prison.
Tyler, I'll be there in 2 minutes. Keep talking to the fans. I got to get something. I'm sorry.
All right, well, fans, I'm gonna take this moment here to sit there and say that if there is a comic book prison out there, The two guys that wrote this should be sent into a federally maximum security pound me in the ass prison, because there's too many crimes here. You know, this there, we don't have a just go ahead and sentence them and put them away for good from now on. It just needs to be done and over with.
All right, Tyler, just for the sake of our fans in the chat room, user Swatshinigumi, Shinsengumi, I totally mispronounced that name, whatever. But anyway, he points out that the Treasure of Thundera survived the explosion. It's been found and used in the second season. And in fact, you can go and find the Treasure of Thundera listed in the Wikia. Let's see. Rattila tried to acquire the treasure in the past, but Jaga stopped him. When Thundera was destroyed, the chest containing the treasure survived. And when Mum-Ra recreates the planet, it's found again upon the world. There are known pieces like the Book of Omens, the Key of Thundera, Magical Flute, Double-Headed Dragon of Doom, Totem of Dera, Chain of Loyalty, Mirror of Truth, and Bracelet of Power. But there are other pieces apparently within that were not mentioned in the episode. So it does exist. It is a thing within the lore. So there it is.
That I certainly don't deny. It's just Doug was letting us know that the Treasure of Thundera is in fact an actual item that consists of multiple artifacts. But
Oh yeah, but there's no way it was a
my
golden
complaint
disc.
was just like, this is what you're writing is a way of bridging the two universes, because Jaga is aware of Eternia because of these art. It's like, how? It's just like, this doesn't make any sense.
Right, and of all things, like to make it a golden disc of knowledge again. That's what I mean. Like, yes, the artifact is real. It's just like Thomas told us, it's real. But I don't think they had to go into the past to find this. But why did it have to be another golden disc of knowledge? It's just, I don't know. Everything just it just felt like they're just again trying to force so much stuff. So what they did was they used the powers, Jaga and the sorcerers together to make it to where now they gave physical form to the ancient spirits of evil, to where now they can be actually hurt because each of them has like a golden disc of knowledge like somewhere on them. So they all have to be targeted. So after that's known, it's like here comes everything. You see the Dragon Walker, Laser Bolt, Road Ripper, Bashasaurus. I mean, every vehicle you can ever think of. Well, not all of them, but they're all basically there. And at least at this time now, for I think you see King Randor running in instead of being on Bayana Tops again. But so they're all going into battle. There's another character that's in this battle that I felt like he, to me, was written wrong, and that's Zodak. Zodak is here, but Zodak is, Zodak feels like another warrior because you hear Man-at-Arms calling out of all the things that he once done. I want you over that damn vulture, a lot of you. And you hear, yes, sir, understood, yes, sir. And Zodak sounding like, Zodak? He just don't seem like he's the kind of guy that should be just taking orders and just standing like a normal soldier. So I felt like that character was pretty much written wrong, but whatever. So they go into the battle. They're all doing their stuff again, slamming and banging and whatever. And hold on, I'm trying to think of what part I skipped because there was a they're trying to have Teela and Chitara having their team up again. And when they're having their team up, I think that's when Chitara has her foresight and she knows what's going to happen. So she like prevents something that's going to happen or at least avoids a disaster. So she helps out Teela. So they're having their little, I guess, team up moment. Then here comes Orko again, and he's going to try one more time to do the spell to shrink one of the ancient spirits of evil. And that one, I think, again, gets deflected, knocked back, didn't work. And it hits Snarf. And it turns Snarf into like a giant tube. Snarf is like, I don't know, pretty close as big as one of the ancient spirits of evil. And he somehow, like, I think inadvertently, like, slashes one of them or something. I don't know if it was where the golden disc of knowledge was, but Snarf, just by accident, as a giant, defeats one of the ancient spirits of evil. So that was that part, which I know Tyler loves. Then it's back to Man-at-Arms, Panthro, and Tiger again. Tiger can't hold the illusion no more. They start going after Castle Grayskull. They're setting to shoot. As they set to shoot, and they blast one of the ancient spirits of evil, hits him. He gets kind of like ticked off, turns around. He grabs Man-at-Arms and he's holding them like in his hand. You know, he's just squeezing them. And then Panther flies up, jumps up, and is trying to release him out of that grip. And Man-at-Arms just keeps saying, "Fire, fire the damn exaggerated cannon. Don't worry about me." And he was like, "You know, what the blaze do you think you're?"
The exaggerated cannon.
The exaggerated cannon. That's what he called it. Yeah. So
Thank you.
and he says, "What the blaze do you think you're doing?" And Panther was still just trying to release him. You know, he's trying to get that. He's like, "You know, you're stubborn." You know, he's like trying to save your stubborn hide. And then he's like, "Fire, fire, damn you." And he's like, "I can't get a clear shot." That's what Tiger said. He's like, "Clear or not, I gave you a direct order." And then Panther gets him out of the grip of that giant. And he was like, Panther said, "Must you always be such a hard ass?" And then Man-at-Arms says, "Always." He says, and then here comes the greatest line. Panther says, "It's not charming." And then Man-at-Arms says, "The ladies tell me otherwise." Fire. Okay, we had our discussion earlier about Man-at-Arms. When did Man-at-Arms become this kind of ladies' man? Like, that's what she said. What do you mean the ladies tell me otherwise? It's not charming. Come on, is this Man-at-Arms? Do you see this as your Man-at-Arms or anyone ever? Has this ever been his character of being this ladies' guy? Your silence just says it all. That's why I know. I can tell you're just.
I don't cuss a lot on this show, but I felt like since we're discussing a comic that was just oh so brilliantly written with a lot of forced, mature dialogue that doesn't serve any purpose other than the guy who's writing it is like, man, this is like cool and adult here because they're just cussing just to be doing it, guy. And, it's just, it's. It's one thing to have, it's like in the first Ninja Turtles movie where Raph gets pissed off and yells "damn" because he can't find Casey Jones. I'm like, that's cool. It serves a purpose. And all this just random, cussing, that language we wouldn't have never heard from Man-at-Arms from the, or Panthers, "You're being a hard ass," and "ass" and "ass," is like everyone's just developed Tourette's very quickly. And of course, their motive is, "Oh, it's the heat of the battle. You're trying to get done," and you start using language. It's like, but it just doesn't sound right within the context of what you're writing. It
It
just
doesn't
doesn't.
make it be, it
It
doesn't
doesn't
feel
fit. It
more
doesn't
adult.
make it more compelling or the situation that much more exciting. And I'm not sitting there. I could just picture the grandfather from the Cosby Show saying, "You're a hard ass Man-at-Arms or Duncan." And what I'm talking about, the grandfather from the Cosby Show is the guy who voiced Panther, people who don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah. Oh that's what I
So
mean. So
it's just stupid. It's just flat out stupid. These guys deserve to be put, like a big dunce cap on their head, put in an asylum in a round room and told them, tell them they need to find the corner. And they can't come out until they find the corner. They'll be locked in there forever trying to find the corner in this round room.
it's it,
Both these jackasses need to be sentenced to sit next to somebody who's crocheting something that isn't there.
it.
That's what these. It's just like, what? These two need to be so ashamed of themselves. And DC and Mattel should be too. That DC allowed, these books to continue on. And then Mattel's like, "You clearly are the right guy for the job. You say you like He-Man and had a toy as a kid. By God, Nancy, write this man a check. We're going to let him write our company. Now get the hell out of my office. We're working on Monster High." It's just feels like it's everybody's falling asleep at the wheel here. Do people feel like this comic book, this property, these two properties do not deserve proper time to shine? Do they feel like we don't need a competent writer to write for this? It's just some silly toy line that made money for us in the 1980s. It's clearly not a big deal, and it clearly didn't work in 2000X. Just, well, we don't know why people stopped buying it. It was a big hit, and then people just stopped buying it. We don't know why. It certainly wasn't our fault or anything that we did. We don't know what's wrong with people. But clearly, we'll just throw it out there and try and make something. And if it fails, well, then clearly, I guess there's not enough a demand for these characters here. Because clearly, if a comic book crossing over two of the biggest powerhouses of the 1980s, or in toys in general, clearly couldn't sell, then it's all the fans' fault. They certainly had no support. It's just not that popular. Well, I'll tell you this right now. We're still not done talking about this, but I'm so sick and tired of people feeling like they have to accept subpar, below average, and just flat out junk because you feel like if we don't buy something, we'll never get anything else. I'm like, me, Joe, Doug, people who are listening in the chat room right now to us right now, people who are listening to us tomorrow, 2 months from now, 2 years from now, you are all entitled to have quality entertainment. We should not feel like we have to, you know, build these, you know, corporate masters in a sense where I'm like, you know what, let them know we don't like what you're doing with this. We'll buy whatever you want to throw at us, but don't treat us like we're idiots when you want to do comic books or cartoons or movies.
Tyler, you know? If people deserve quality entertainment, why is this show still on?
Oh.
Well, obviously, Doug, people, they realize what quality is. They understand the finer things in life. They've tasted the forbidden fruit, which is being a He-Man fan and saying, "The hell are you talking about? This sucks, and I don't have to take it anymore."
I thought he was going to say something else, but no.
Which, if people are wondering why a picture of Russell Westbrook is popping up, it's to help accentuate my point of like, what the hell is this mess that Joe is reading to me right now? You know, what is this? This sucks. And it's on YouTube, the clip of Russell Westbrook making that face and cussing out a reporter for being stupid. Well, that's how I feel about this. You know, the face says it all. It's like, you know, enough is enough. We shouldn't be so scared to think if we don't buy every issue, well, then we won't get more. Well, you know what? If we keep buying every issue, they're going to let these guys continue and keep writing more and more bad stories.
Yep.
And you know what? Well, go ahead.
No, I'm just.
I've talked enough at this moment.
Because, I mean, I'll have something great to say.
And frankly, the air has been taken out of my balloon after our oh-so-glorious producer decided to come in and just cut my balls off right here live on, you know.
He did. That was a live castration.
I do what I do best.
You did, man. That was a live castration.
Emasculating men.
Well, let me just quickly.
Demasculating, excuse me.
Well, let me wrap this up, and then I'll say something about what you were saying. So, after the ancient spirits of evil are finally defeated, Mumra and Skeletor figure they'll do something to, I guess, take matters into their own hands. Skeletor says, ancient spirits of evil. And then Mumra says, in your final dying thrashes. And then suddenly you see Chitara look, everybody look, they're like, by Jaga. And then you hear something say, let the wickedness flow. And then they show
the dumbest build up for a transformation.
Yep, it says, release the terrible power that resides in your ashes. Black as hell from you four. Give all your dark might.
Oh my goodness, terrible power from your ass.
It's trying to rhyme. Give all your dark power to Mumator. It's like a. This is what I call a Joe Amato custom. When I make customs where I cross over things for fun, and I'm never really serious about it, but I think, hey, maybe it'll be cool. But this is what I call a Joe Amato custom. I mean, it's within the name. Mama.
Now Joe is deciding to insult himself, you know, in front of people.
Well,
appreciate and love Joe's customs. What he's trying to do right now is to kind of belittle himself because obviously. He's going to do a custom of this god awful idea here.
Listen.
Yeah. If he belittles himself, people will feel bad and like, oh, Joe, you shouldn't feel that way. I'll be more than happy to buy this god awful, just wretched idea.
No, the name. It's just like they had to do Mumra Skeletor to make Mumator. It's like, really? So that's the last panel you see is of Skeletor and Mumra. As one. And then, of course, that's how it ends. Now, what Tyler was saying earlier, you know, how some people say, well, you know what? Be happy you have something. Would you rather have nothing? And you know what? If I had my choice of nothing or just the stuff that they just keep throwing together, I'd rather have nothing. I'd rather they wait to where they try to give you a really quality, great product. And if, as you see, sales drop every month, which we know that in all of comics, sure, sales might drop from this or that, but this just keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. Why is it dropping? Is it dropping because people love it and like, hey, you know what? I just don't think I'm going to buy it next month. I'd like to, but I just don't have the money. They're not buying it because they're not liking it. They're losing more and more people. If this was such a great comic, That would stay pretty frickin' steady, or maybe even increase, like by fans saying, "My God, did you see how awesome this comic is? You need to buy this comic." And the sales rise, but the sales keep going down. That's what I mean. It's like, it's not saying Thundercats suck and Masters of the Universe suck. The story sucks. That's what sucks. And that's why it's not selling. So, I mean, I know, yes, like I said earlier, there's people that like it. Go ahead, like it. But I was like, man, I'd like something more quality to where you're getting people that really know the properties and can give it the proper respect. Because all this nonsense mash of trying to have great battles in this, because they're trying to flash, they're trying to get you with, like, if you would move it, special effects, which is constant action. But this just the action's nothing. I mean, it was just so silly. That dialogue kills everything. I hate to every month say, hey, I like the art. Hey, I like the art. But this time.
And notice that, most that is I'd say the vast majority, if you go on forums or social media pages, everybody's first remark. We even got it today. We're like somebody, you feel like, well, I like the art. It's like everyone's afraid to, it's like, dude, it's okay to admit, you know what, this story stinks. And it's not the first time that a popular character, Spider-Man's gone through it, so is Batman, Superman. All comic book fans can sit there and say every great superhero comic book has gone through, well, this guy has no business writing this character. They've all gone through. It's okay to sit there and say this about this crossover right now. You don't feel like that you can't speak. If you genuinely like it, which we're gradually finding more and more people who say they liked it and then have now suddenly changed their mind, and I have this to say to you.
That's pretty good.
I just feel like, well, we told you so.
Yeah.
But there's obviously people who are going to fight through it, just like the many versions of Spider-Man and Batman that are written poorly, but will continue to buy it either because, well, they genuinely feel that this is the best quality that you can possibly get, or various other reasons. But I just want to emphasize, because I've seen it before, long ago, before there were people who were feel like they have to keep buying something, otherwise we will lose it. Because Mattel has always been so skittish about pulling the trigger on He-Man because of 2000X, whereas somebody like Playmates doesn't mind resurrecting Turtles. If this current version that's on Nickelodeon somehow fizzles away, give it another 10 years, and Playmates will reinvent it again. Thank God Super 7 has taken over these reigns for classics and stuff, but it's all this stuff can work. And being so scared, and I'd assume have nothing, because at least we have got Filmation, we've got NYP, we've got the live action movie, we've got the new adventures of He-Man, we've got an assortment of storybooks, mini comics, comic books from DC to Marvel in the 80s, German audio books. UK magazines. There's tons and tons and tons. Just recently, you got the newspaper clip book. You've got so many forms of media to get lots of good, wholesome, kick-ass He-Man stories. You've got the Thundercats cartoon. Well, both of them. If you like the other one too, that's fine too. But to be so worried that if you just say, you know what, I don't want to waste another $4.20 on the last issue because you know what, I'm tired of wasting my money on something I keep hoping is going to be good, and it's simply not. I recognize from the beginning. Now, I'm not trying to be, because I just recognize what the direction it was going, the dialogue that was written, the story they're trying to tell. This is not going to end up well. And by dear God, it just gets worse and worse to the point where, Polly Practical Joe Amato here is just like he's lost. When he told me about this earlier on in the week, it legitimately did hurt my head. And I just sat there with my Russell Westbrook look on my face as he's telling me everything that's going on in this. And it's just like you, it really has got, it's like a, it's a snowball. It's just about ready to hit the house at the bottom of the hill. And I'm sure that's what issue five is going to be. I can't even imagine just how bad the issue five is going to be and what they've got planned after this crossover is done. I suddenly realized I've lost everybody.
Well, I don't know what happened to Joe.
Okay, because his picture's up, but there's no sound. So, Joe, if you can hear me and Doug, we can't hear you.
You know what? I think, Joe said his computer just turned off. He'll try to jump back on.
Okay.
So apparently that's a phantom stream. See, I was thinking that Rob David and Lloyd Goldfein just broke into his house and just did the
abducted him,
full of ether over his face, and put him in the back of a white van and driving him off somewhere.
I'm back. Oh, that's insane. I'm sorry, everybody. I went off.
Yeah, Doug pretty much had it well figured out what happened to you, but I guess you got out of the trunk of the car.
I went off. It actually, on my whatever device I had, a firmware update came on, and it just kicked me right off that thing, so I had to switch over to this mode. I apologize. Did I miss anything insane?
No, I just kind of embarrassed myself live with nobody to talk to, and Doug came on and said I was stupid, and because, well, Joe didn't want to listen to me, and nobody else wants to listen to me, the show will inevitably implode, and I will just become like this, you know. I don't know. I'm sure Joe's got a dirty word to call me here, you know.
I wouldn't do that.
That
no.
is accurate. That is 100% accurate.
No, so
see?
Yeah, so you look at that. Like I said, I mean, like when you look at the stuff from Dark Horse that they've been putting out, like, you know, the newspaper comic strips, this book, that book, and they sell like crazy and people love them. See, it shows that, like I said, there's a demand and people want Masters of the Universe, whether it's stuff that, you know, is from the past or that newspaper book, which almost nobody's seen those strips before, and they're going to buy. And that's what we deserve. We deserve to get a comic to where you're excited every month to say, man, I can't wait. You know, I mean, it's Wednesday. The new comic's coming out this month. I can't wait to get to there and, you know, to buy it and read it. But it's like I'm not excited. I'm like thinking, oh, God, okay, here comes this issue. How bad is it going to be? I shouldn't be, like, anticipating disappointment when I'm going to get a comic. That's what's sad about it. And that
just has so much potential. Sorry, Joe.
No, so what I'm saying is, so when it sells bad, and then people think, God, people don't want Masters no more. No, we do want Masters, but we want somebody that can actually write it and give us good, fun stories. Like I said, if it's not selling, it's because it's not that people don't want Masters of Thundercats. It's because it's bad writing. And you would think, with the Thundercat fans and the He-Man fans, this coming together should be selling like nuts, like gangbusters. I mean, people would be clamoring for this. So not even the combined efforts of these two, you know, properties and these fandoms, it's not even enough. It just drops every month. So, I mean, I pray that if they start doing another series or another run, please get a set of people that have knowledge, especially of He-Man, and if they do Thundercats again, get people that know Thundercats. Not to where it's just nonsense and you just say, hey, I watched this couple episodes, I watched this, and I think this is what happened. Because you know that's what happened. And my God, and seeing all these stupid classic references. And
obviously, the episodes he only watched was Golden Disks of Knowledge. You know,
I must have loved that episode to death.
Classic action figures dumped on his table and said, okay, put that guy in there. Oh, there's that cool green dinosaur. Put him in there too. You know, it's
yeah, that's what I mean. It's like
they're He-Man fans. They don't know anything. They just want the toys and they have the DVDs. They got in the bargain bin at Walmart. It doesn't matter. The story doesn't have to make any sense. It doesn't have to be coherent. Just phone it in, and I will be a god amongst fans.
Yeah. So that wraps it up. So, guys, like I said, that was just our thoughts on it. I mean, hey, if you like the comic, I hope, hey, more power to you. I didn't mean to offend anybody. Just I couldn't take it. I just did not like this at all.
Well, I just have a quick question for people listening. Has anybody ever seen the She-Ra episode Book Burning?
Don't! Tyler, what the hell are you doing? That's a fake, that ain't a real, like, wait, is that right? Tyler, are you insane? Well, I think it's going to go out. You better put that out, man. You want to cause a fire in your house. What are you doing? Do you have a fire extinguisher?
I'm doing a dramatic reenactment of the episode Book Burning. That's what I'm doing here.
What the hell is she was at? I mean, but you're burning something anyways. Are you crazy? Put that out, pour some water on it. Okay. I think, all right, Tyler, wrap it up with something good, a good cartoon episode, because that freaked me out there. You better have a fire in your house. Go ahead.
I do not have a fire in my house. The fire has been put out.
Okay.
It's just making a simple statement.
Wow.
I this week, you know,
Gotta pick a winner. Figuring looks like you're going to your episodes.
You know.
Think he's gonna go to Filmation, his old good video cassettes, and he's gonna find
marshmallows in here.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm gonna see flames coming up in a second, and it's gonna be like on your feet or
There
you just dropped every one of your DVDs and VHS tapes. All your great classics have now been destroyed. Get away from the fire, though. You want to have melted tapes.
Spirits of Liefeld and David, or whatever their names are, or they're haunting the house here.
Yeah, you had a little much anger. So what you got?
But I'm gonna go with on this particular VHS tape here. Is the episode Return of Granamir, along with Pawns of the Game Master. But I had mentioned Return of Granamir earlier, and given, you know, it made me mad that Man-At-Arms just has to tag along because we see him in every episode. It's a fantastic sequel to the episode The Dragon's Gift. I'm not sure if I ever recommended this one, as that's why I tried to mix up doing my recommendations every week. But
okay.
But I love it. I feel like it's an extremely underrated episode. Doesn't get a whole lot of discussion about it, but it's a Larry DeTillier written episode. And I highly recommend that one. And a fun Shearer episode too. I'd like to throw out Stone and the Sword, which was an episode I know it's well loved, but as a kid, I'm like, Hordak's not in it. The Horde don't play a big part in it.
You know what you get in that too? You get in what we had that one week where we talked about, like, you know, where you clearly could hear Prince Adam's voice when he would say, by the power of Grayskull, and you knew he wouldn't transform. Yes. You get Adora doing, you know, for the other, you know, it's like, you know, she's not going to transform when the stone was cracked.
So. Yeah, but it was an episode that I dismissed as a kid, and as an adult, I'm like, I clearly appreciate this a lot more, which I always just balk at the idea of people say the Filmation cartoons do not hold up, they're hokey and silly and blah, 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 and like, you know, these are genuine. I mean, it ages like fine wine, and I look at it, you know, I just appreciate everything they did, from the stories, the animation. And before I pass it over to Joe, I wanted to I threw out a little bit of promotional information about a project I'm doing with Carson. Joe, how do you pronounce his last name? Sorry, Carson, I've never had a reason to say your last name out loud. So
it's the great artist Carson Clinch.
Clinch. Okay, that's what I thought. Carson and I are doing a reimagining of the mini comic Leash, the Master of Power Suction Unleashed. Just doing a brand new mini comic, and just trying to do a little bit more of a, I guess, a plot where it's like a coherent version of the story. There won't be giant versions of the villains. It'll be similar to the context of what you kind of expect from a mini comic in the 80s, you know, where you're depicting the characters that are currently available at the time, plus the character that the comic came with. And obviously, if this is a success, Joe and I both have got stories lined up to do after this one. I've got a Clamp Champ Ninja story that is as if those two came with their own individual mini comic. I love to do that. We want to do a Zodak story, since Zodak never ever got featured in the mini comics. We have plans to do a Zodak story. Joe has a particular fake story to tell. I'll just leave that one in that description there. We got a lot of fun ideas to do with this for fans to get some more stories. You know, it just feels like, you know, why should they continue to be subjected to, you know, burned books? You know, there's a lot of fun stuff. Joe made a recommendation to what's the gentleman's name who did the really cool mini comic that just came out with the cool black guy with the big silver fist? What's his name?
Oh, the one that Jesus, hold on a second. I'm having a brain fart here. Oh my God, what just happened?
Oh man,
Punch Out! Punch Out! Punch Out's his name. I'm sorry. Oh God, I feel so bad.
Yeah.
Punch Out.
Is yeah. The what's the name of the mini comic?
It's Hammer of the Gods. That's
Hammer of the. You know, just things like that. You know, it's you know, we want to get, you know, keep pushing, you know, since obviously the powers that be are not going to give, you know, fans who are passionate about this stuff the opportunities to take a crack at it. Why not just do it ourselves here?
Sure.
For your own entertainment.
And I feel bad. Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel bad, Walter Harris. I apologize. I was
he did not expect me to bring that up. So
yeah, I was like,
me that Joe just had a brain fart immediately. So that I take responsibility.
That's fine. No, but yeah, Walter Harris did a fantastic job, and we'll talk about that mini comic sometime. And I
Yeah.
guess with the mini comics you're talking about, you're going to do, and I'll try to do, we'll do together. I guess if anything, it's basically, if people are listening to us and we are, critiquing something we don't like, and they might say, "Put your money where your mouth is." Well, we'll do it. And hey, what's good is if they don't like it, I want them to say if they don't like something we wrote. We're not saying that it's going to be perfect. We're going to give our vision, and it'd be fun to see if they think, "Hey, your thing sucked," or, "Hey, I kind of enjoyed it."
And just so we're clear here, for people who may have listened to this and thought, "Oh man, what a bunch of tools! These guys are just knocking everything. They're talking tough and this and that, whatever." When we put these out, if you don't like it, you are entitled to say whatever you want to say. If you feel like we have no business writing it, then you, as a fan, have every right to sit there and say, "Well, what we've been saying," because you are entitled to say that. I'm not wishing harm on any one of these guys who've written this book. I don't want harm on anybody. It's just explaining that we need somebody else writing these stories, not these guys.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, if it's something we don't like, we can say it. I mean, if you love it, you love it. But yeah.
But the point is, we're doing these because we love these characters. There's characters that never got a whole lot of time. I want to tell a Jitsu story. I love to do a Jitsu mini comic with Joe. And give Jitsu, like, I mean, a lot, I mean, just really build him up as like the master of martial arts, what he is so, claimed to be. Just an example. This we just got a lot of Carson's working on it. He's
It'll
I
look great.
yeah and I mean, the story is done, the layout is done. I saw the cover of what we're going for, and Joe's already thinking, "Is he big already?" Like, no, Joe.
Yeah, I was freaking out, but hey, as long as you have somewhere in there diaper wearing Moss Man, we're good to go. You got to have
Oh
Moss Man.
yeah, I made sure that the opening splash page is Moss Man. It's just like, "Man, I got a new pair on right now."
Oh, damn diaper. So, all right, man. Well, thanks for all those recommendations, and then, like I said, mentioning what you got planned. And
And if
well,
anyone has any questions about it, contact Karsten, myself, or Joe on Facebook or the various, Facebook pages. And we can answer any questions people have about it. It's still in the works right now, but once we get more and more information out there, we'll be updating everybody ASAP on it.
sure. Okay, well, as for me, like I always say, go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group, all great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
I'm drawing a blank here.
That's the way to end it. There you go. No quote.